Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Sentimental Garbage, the podcast where we talk about the culture we love that society sometimes makes us feel ashamed of. My name is Caroline and my wardrobe is giving me deep vein thrombosis. Joining me is the woman who wears her skinny jeans with ballet flats and a peplum top. Lauren Bravo.
Hi. The peplum top. Hey, we're into it already.
I don't want to see one ever again.
Absolutely never. Like a valance sheet for your body.
Horrible. And part of that culture that I can never stop returning to on this podcast of like office wear as casual wear.
Jewel tones. Are we talking jewel tones?
Jewel tones. Yeah, I just remember this one emerald peplum top I had that is just stayed in the wardrobe for so long.
With a statement necklace.
With a statement neck, yeah. At 21 years old.
Oh man, there's so much to say. But I mean, I think why I'm here, and I think probably why we're all here, Caroline, is I need to know how you're going to relate skinny jeans to a post 9/11 world. I'm so excited!
I can't believe we're 15 seconds into this podcast and I've been dressed down by such an older friend as you.
Oh no, I mean it with love.
Oh my God, the roast of Caroline O'Donoghue.
I'm so sorry.
No. No, but again, so 9/11. So I texted you a couple of months ago to say, episode idea. Also, hadn't spoken to you since you had your baby or anything. No congratulations,
nah,
no irrelevant. Flowers, no card. Requiem for a skinny jean.
This is all I need.
Because it's so interesting to, and obviously this comes with a massive caveat of like, trends are made up and you can wear what you want and don't feel ashamed of your wardrobe and blah, 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 and cost of living, whatever. Let's be frank about it. We're two London women looking at other London women in a major world city that is considered a fashion capital.
Mm-hmm.
And I am looking around and I am noticing it's fucking over.
Where are they? Right.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. I think what we need to address first is, has the death of skinny jeans been greatly exaggerated?
Mm-hmm.
I did a little unscientific experiment on my way here.
Okay.
I counted how many pairs of skinny jeans I saw. And now, admittedly, I am travelling from East London to London's fashionable Soho. So it's not representative, right? I saw nine.
Nine
pairs of skinny jeans on people of all genders.
During rush hour on a
during
Tuesday
rush
morning.
Hour on a
Wednesday?
Wednesday morning. Nine pairs. That's not a lot of pairs of skinny jeans. Like, I don't think we're off the mark here.
Yeah.
They're not, yeah.
For something that had, like, I'm going to say a 15 to 20 year complete stranglehold on the, like, quite literally stranglehold on the lower half of our bodies.
Uh-huh.
For within a couple of years, for that to dwindle to nine pairs.
Yeah.
On a commute in London at rush hour during the week is crazy.
It's dramatic. Yeah. I think skinny jeans is a really perfect set text when you're looking at like a fashion life cycle because it's a very pure one because there's only so many shapes of jeans. So you've got like your little micro trends, you've got your bum bags, your baseball caps, your peplum tops, etc. But then jeans can only go in these big waves.
Like you say,
we've been wearing them for like 20 years. And 20 years generally in academic terms is how long we think it takes for a trend to kind of rise up, live, die again. And so skinny jeans, we're looking at exactly that.
Yeah.
And
a real era.
It is, like, was such an era. And, you know, the fact that we are now of an age, and this is what I think it really comes down to as well, where we get to choose now whether or not we're going to kind of go again with these things. So, you know, all the Gen Zs are wearing the massive jeans now.
Yeah.
And I think that, I'm sorry to lump you into my 35 plus box. I know you're not quite there yet.
About 2 years before I join your sad community.
But it's not sad, Caroline. It's liberating.
Okay, good.
Because we now, like, you get, I think, you know, for the first time I'm at a position where I can sort of step back and look at the kids and think, oh, you have your fun. You know, you enjoy, you have your fun. And I'm just going to kind of stick here with my boot cuts. And that's interesting.
It's so strange because there were years there where even the phrase boot cut jeans was a kind of a weird punchline.
Right.
And like it would be like a shorthand for like a weird man you went on a date with.
Oh, yeah. And like, jeans and shoes.
Yeah.
With one of those leather biker jackets with like a little flap with a popper on at the neck.
Why did boot cut become such a weird punchline?
Yeah.
Like you were saying in the Aisling books, in the Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling, which are a series of like Irish comedy books that are kind of like Adrian Mole for basic women, essentially.
Yeah, but absolute genius.
Absolutely
like,
genius, yeah. And she talks about like her love of a shumper, which is a shirt collar knitted into a V-neck jumper.
Yeah, attached.
Attached,
yeah, yeah.
And bootcut jeans. And like that's supposed to be this wink to the readership who know that this is an unfashionable kind of jean to wear.
Right. And it also, it goes through, you know, she has a journey in the books where she has her fashionable Dublin friends get her in a mom jean.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole narrative in the book. That's a thing that she's, you know, she's still not really on board with the mom jean, but she's kind of doing it for her mates. Do you know what? I think it's because bootcut jeans were flattering.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's very hard to talk about anything that was a trend in the mid-noughties without the ghost of Trini and Susanna manifesting. So mm-hmm. I feel like we'll just cover them off quite quickly. But, you know, a boot cut in its essence, I suppose if you're talking about like bodily hang-ups and, you know,
yeah,
addressing a female figure, a boot cut is supposed to be legendarily the most flattering option, isn't it? Right, it's all about silhouettes, it's about proportion, etc.
Right.
And so skinny jeans, in a way, I think when they came in, felt like they did feel quite liberating and rebellious in a way, because it was a fuck you to Trini and Susanna and dressing in a flattering way for your body. And it was suddenly going, no, I am just going to totter around like, you know, a kind of sack of potatoes on a pair of cocktail sticks, and I'm going to love it.
Yeah, and like I remember them being genuinely quite controversial in a very strange way. And also skinny jeans on men becoming this punchline for a kind of, like, this is a real dated term that I can't believe ever existed, a real metrosexual signifier.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? There'd be like a little aside in like the Sunday Times or something being like, you know, that, you know how they'll create like a fake profile of a man that like, oh, we all know Stuart with his skinny jeans and leather jacket and silver necklace kind of thing. And
it's visible supposed, ankles.
Yes, exactly. And hair product that costs more than your house.
Well, the pipeline that began with Stuart and ended fairly recently with Four Lads in Jeans, that meme, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to, like, ahead of this, I was thinking kind of what killed the skinny jean if we have to kind of write a death certificate.
Mm-hmm.
What are the causes of death? And I feel like Four Lads in Jeans, that meme
has to be. So tell me what that is. I think I'm dimly aware, but you have to bring it to light for me.
Okay. Oh, I'm educating Caroline. Darling, you're the meme. This is a good day for me. Okay. So it's four men. They're very stacked. If you picture the classic, the sort of the gym bro, the top heavy silhouette with their tiny little legs, and they're all wearing very tight skinny jeans, and you know, some array of like loafers with a bare ankle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they're out
on
the town. They're posing for a photo
and
together.
And real like Essexy lads, right?
Essexy lads.
Yeah.
They've got a picture together outside of, let's say, the O2 or
yes,
wherever they're going.
I do
going
know
for
this.
Their...
I know this picture. Yeah.
Yeah. And it became such a meme that they then made, I think, I want to say a bronze statue of the four lads in jeans. I might have to verify that, but I'm pretty sure they have been commemorated in some way. And bless them, I think they had quite a good sense of humour about it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that was a nail in the coffin for the skinny jean.
And what... that, okay. Oh, I, this is fascinating because I think yes, it's the death of one sort of item of clothing that had complete... a total umbrella empire over. It's like when you hear about these like great empires, like ancient Mesopotamia that you know nothing about but controlled the entire world at some point. You're like,
yeah.
And then it just went away. And
Byzantium,
like,
is my husband's current obsession.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was this thing of like, I think body standards for men changed very quickly where... And maybe we have to go back to the very beginning of skinny jeans.
Shall we? Do you want to do a potted history?
I do. So we're going to, you know, briefly reference that, like, oh, in the 1950s, the cigarette trouser and Elvis and James Dean.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of vaguely know that. Anytime you, like, Google the history of skinny jeans, you have to scroll through 5 pages of Elvis wearing tight black trousers. And that kind of being this interesting thing of, like, oh, you know, showing movement, essentially, of like...
Seeing the outline of a body.
Yeah, and the advent of TV and that body being in your home and seeing it move around in that controversial way. Sending the girls wild. inventing the pill. but if we fast forward to the early 2000s, the sort of the godfather of the skinny jean, I'm sure you've learned this from your reading as well, is...
Did you look up how to pronounce his name?
No, but did you?
Hedy Slimane. Hedy Slimane. Well, yeah.
The most incredible case of nominative determinism I have ever come across.
Absolutely. Hedy Slimane, as he is in my head.
Yeah, S-L-I-M-A-N-E. Mm-hmm. He's a French designer of Italian and Tunisian descent.
Oh, you really did your research.
Yeah, I've gone deep. And he started working at YSL in the late 90s and then quickly went to Dior to be like the head of their male couture fashion department. And very much skinny fit, slim fit things.
Yeah.
And his first big coup is Brad Pitt's wedding suit.
I did not know that.
To Jennifer Aniston. And famously, we have very few pictures of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston's wedding.
Of course. I know what her hair looked like. That's all I can picture. She had.
Of course.
I think she kind of really popularised the swept up, half up dude.
God, every time I look at this picture, I'm like, why couldn't those two kids make things work?
Maybe they still will. They could do a Bradgelina. Oh, no, Bennifer. That's who I mean.
Bennifer.
A Bennifer. My God, forgive me. Oh.
So look at the suit. Were you looking at her?
Skinny tie.
Skinny tie, skinny lapels, skinny fit on a skinny, handsome man.
Yeah, skinny, skinny, skinny.
Skinny, skinny, skinny. So that's Hedy's first big coup. And then after that, it becomes this thing where he starts dressing like the libertines.
Nah, the Strokes.
The Strokes. He kind of says throughout his career, he recently sort of produced a monograph of like those 10 years of 2000, 2010, which were his big, big years of being the sort of head of Dior and being like, yeah, it was all influenced by music. It's really, I think, why I'm a successful designer is because I really want to be a musician, essentially, which I find so lovable because I really want to be a musician. I don't want to be a writer or a podcaster.
Absolutely. We're all just doing this because we couldn't make it in a band.
Truly. And the people who admit that for themselves, I think, are the most successful creatively.
Wow. You're really laying it on the line there. Yeah.
No, I've thought this for a few years now. I think I've said it a few times on this podcast that most writers are one of three failed professions, which is a failed movie director, a failed stand-up comedian, or failed rock star.
I mean, rock star. In my case, I would have been the girl dancing barefoot with a tambourine, and I'm very comfortable with that.
You so could have been Stevie Nicks in another line.
Oh, well, thank you. I quite fancy. Do you remember Tilly and the Wall? That indie band that had a tap dancer as the drummer. I was like, yeah, when there's a Sussex version of that, then my moment will come. But it didn't happen, so I had to become a writer instead.
Yeah.
But I was in my skinny jeans, Caroline.
Dancing along to Tilly and the Wall. Mm. He starts dressing all these rock stars and then starts putting the music in his shows. And so this sort of like, it's so strange because I remember first knowing about skinny jeans as a woman thing and then it becoming controversial when ordinary guys started wearing it. But actually it started as a men's tailoring thing with Dior Homme and then bled into us and then bled back into the common man.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And it was that kind of, I guess, the first time in my... Actually, no, that can't be true because there was a lot of androgyny in the whole grungy thing as well. But it was maybe the first time in my own personal wardrobe that I had been wearing something that the men that I fancied were wearing as well.
Right.
Very interesting. And maybe also the first time, and I was talking to my husband about this last night because I really wanted to get his kind of perspective. Potentially the first time for that generation that men were given body hang-ups by fashion.
Yes.
And that's interesting.
That's,
do you know what I mean?
That's fucking interesting.
Men had to feel bad about their thighs. Equality. Like, but you know, I think back to skinny jeans, my overriding image is me at sixth form in 2004 to 2006, very much the kind of era that skinny jeans were coming up. Kind of moving from being like a bit of a niche fashion thing to being like quite ubiquitous. And all the guys that I fancied at sixth form who were in a band, they would wear the skinniest of skinny jeans, the little leather biker jackets, and they would move like they were chafing. Like you could tell, as the way they would walk across the sixth form car park that they were not comfortable. And that was interesting.
That is
a witness. With the winkle picker shoes as well.
Totally.
You know, there were blisters happening. It wasn't a comfortable look, but seeing men suffer for fashion felt very exciting.
Yeah, and it was part of this kind of what is a kind of every 20 years panic over the standards of masculinity and whether men are becoming too feminine or whatever. Mm. And that was very much ground. I think maybe by the time skinny jeans were in their ascendancy in male fashion, we had pushed past the word metrosexual, but we were still homophobic. So,
oh, 100%. Yeah.
But like this situation of like, oh, they're... The idea exactly of suffering for fashion in this way just felt so intrinsically feminine and therefore despicable.
Yeah, completely. And I wonder, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but I wonder how much of that had to be compensated for by really toxic behaviour. Because if you think about the indie scene, and I think we're kind of just getting to that point of reckoning, aren't we, with how bad, you know, obviously in the wake of Russell Brand, etc.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, Russell Brand. Russell Brand,
proponent of skinny jeans. Noel Fielding, thinking back, he was, you know, king of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know Noel Fielding, I'm sure, you know, I'm not casting any aspersions on his behaviour, but that whole world of the indie boy, I reckon there was quite a lot of shitty behaviour going on.
Oh,
and maybe
sure.
It was because their jeans were so tight.
Just their cocks were sore.
making excuses, but it is interesting. You're right, that like interplay between kind of actually a much more feminized version of what was cool for a man.
Yeah.
And being quite sort of, I guess, poetic and quite kind of, you know, reading literature and smoking your rollies and being a bit tortured. But, you know, maybe came with it a wave of...
Yeah.
Really quite nasty.
And I'm so interested in as well of like this, and like, I think maybe I'm under the illusion of thinking everybody had their own indie sleaze kind of thing. But like, I feel like the bulk of our generation, if they're like into books and music now, generally went through the indie sleaze tunnel to get here.
I think we had to, didn't we?
Right? Was there, I'm sure there were other countercultures. I'm sure not everybody relates to this, but I just remember this thing of like, you know, and I read about this in my book, The Rachel Incident, of the death of CD sales, meaning the rapid increase of touring, and that like bands that were just always on the road because they had to make that money back somehow, and that being this very strange thing of like, you know, obviously I grew up in Cork, most of my friends are English and grew up in various, you know, townships around the UK, but we've all seen the same bands. We've all seen Glass Vegas. We've all seen Pigeon Detective. We've all seen Dirty Pretty Things, because these bands were everywhere all the time.
And
like every single person I know either has or has a friend who has a picture of them with Karl Barat.
It was my friend. I have one of Mystery Jet's drumsticks and Adam Green's water bottle tucked away in my memories box.
It was a magical time.
It really was.
It just...
Yeah.
Just momentarily lost in it. And I obviously, you know, it's interesting because the indie sleaze aesthetic, which you kind of can't talk about if you're cannot talk about if you're talking about skinny jeans, is this thing. And I read a brilliant Rolling Stone article about it where the writer was essentially saying, you know, this was written this time last year. It's like 2022, we were told indie sleaze was going to be the
thing.
Was
going to come back, right.
Did it? No, like
not really. I mean, I think a nostalgia for indie sleaze has definitely come back.
Yes.
And we want to listen to the music again and we want to revisit it in our memories. Do we want to dress that way again? I don't necessarily think it's happening.
Well, nobody is, because as we did our headcount this morning, nine pairs of skinny jeans.
Will it, but I mean, is it one of those things where it's just taking a little while to bed in? Because I do wonder, the very fact of us being sat in a booth today talking about how skinny jeans are dead, is that going to set into motion? Is that going to be the beat of a butterfly's wings that sets into motion, you know, the wave of change that means this time next year, the Gen Zs are going to be rolling around in their skinny jeans and their bomber jackets and their, like, you know, neon stilettos.
Definitely the butterflies and the dominoes are in place for it to happen. Because if you think that, like, and I think part of the reason why it definitely didn't happen was because people post-COVID were, there was like the term hard pant has really
Oh, the
around.
Hard pant!
Yeah.
Mm, gotta be a soft pant.
Nobody wants to wear a hard trouser.
Uh-huh.
You know, lots of like, there was real an advent of like, oh, these are basically sweatpants, but they look like a...
Yeah, they've got
a
stripe down the side, for their office wear.
Precisely. Mm. Exactly. And like, will there come a natural reaction to that whereby people want to be back in Do you know what I mean? Like, kids who were denied a uni experience and now they're in their 20s and they're in their first office jobs and they're properly in the world. Are they going to be like, fuck it, I'm wearing a hard jean.
A hard jean, and a peplum top.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I can see it happening. And interestingly, I've written down on my notes as well that I think one of the other nails in the coffin for the skinny jean was Lycra. Because when they became jeggings.
Yes.
That was when they crossed over. And so, you know, Into mum wear. That's it. And they became softer and softer and softer to the point where we were basically just wearing big, like, thick blue tights. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was definitely the beginning of the end for the skinny jean.
Yeah.
Because there's this thing with jeans, and maybe this is getting into a slightly, you know, too existential fashion territory. I'm going to pose a big question. Why are jeans a staple? I'm a person that has spent my entire life trying and, to my mind, failing to wear jeans. Right?
You're wearing a beautiful pair of jeans right now.
Well, thank you. I have to say, these are the only pair of jeans I have ever felt halfway good in my life.
They're gorgeous. They're an M&S high-waisted
flare. They are high-waisted patch pocket flares. Mm. Got them off my mate, actually, who had bought too many sizes. And so that's... didn't buy them new, just putting that out there. Sorry. As a sustainability advocate, I have to check my rep, Caroline. But anyway, no, these jeans, I love them. I love them to death. And I'm a person that I don't get on well with jeans, and yet I keep trying because my whole life I have been fed the message that jeans are a wardrobe staple. Jeans are basically breathing. You know, jeans and a white t-shirt.
Jeans are basically breathing.
And a beige trench coat. They'll see you through your life and you need to wear them. So, but jeans, I also think, like, good jeans are meant to be a bit punishing. Mm. So what we keep coming back to when people will tell you that the Levi's 501 is the only real jean.
They're horrible on me. I have returned so many pairs of Levi's 501s in my life.
Now, I mean, people adore them, don't get me wrong, but that rigid denim is not a comfortable thing to wear. So when mom jeans kind of came back in about 2017, I actually looked it up. I wrote an article for then The Debrief. It's now been repurposed on Grazia. Called Am I the Only One That Finds Mom Jeans Really Painful in the Crotch Area?
Yes.
In which, well, yes, I am the only one.
No, you're not.
Good, thank you. In which I had to speak to a gynecologist, genuinely, to find out whether I am freakish or it's normal that I could wear them all right in the morning and then by like 2 p.m., my entire crotch would be like numb.
Because of the seam.
Yeah. The seam would pinch in a way. Yeah. And she very, very sweetly had to explain that, you know, all women are different anatomically and some of them have, you know, more going on in that area.
Did she imply that you had more going on in that area?
She may have. There was a body hang up that I didn't know I had to worry about.
I don't like that idea. I think I might have more going on in that area.
It's great. Hey, body positivity. Come on. It's 2023. Anyway, sorry, I've gone off piece. But what I'm saying is...
Keep going off this piece. Whenever I see like an art installation that's like, here's a big wall of fannies, I do immediately think like, oh, that one sucks. And that one's...
Yeah!
That one's okay. I don't like the look of that one. So we're part of the problem.
Right. So, us and our massive fannies.
Yeah.
In our mom jeans. It's not a comfortable experience. Like, it isn't. And so I think we will always have this seesaw with fashion and with denim in particular, where we go back and forth between do we want to be comfortable or do we want the rigid denim kind of holding us in and hoisting us up and, you know, and that's the kind of 501 dream. And so I think you're right in that, you know, we will just go back and forth and jeans will, at the moment, you know, we're back in the rigid and we're back in the big baggies, but gradually over time.
Or I feel like for our age group, the over 30s is very much kind of a more structured mom jean, where it's like a high-waisted with a straight leg, which are all my jeans at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm finding, interestingly, as now a mom, like, if I turn up at Soft Play wearing like a flare, that looks a bit try-hard.
Like, really?
Yeah, there's a very specific uniform.
Go on.
Okay, so at the moment, and this is what I've observed, I'm like sitting in the corner with my little notebook, but I cannot for the life of me get it right. I'm just not naturally a cash person. I can't really nail it.
You do love an outfit.
I love an outfit. I do. So
you're always coordinated. It's always great.
Oh, but it is the bane of my life. I'm not. I can't throw things on.
I do think it is why you're one of the most well-liked women in our industry. First of all, you're wonderful. And second of all, whenever you're about to come, I was like, oh, I wonder what she'll be wearing.
It
is very...
I like to turn it out for the people, Caroline. Thank you. Thank you for validating.
You're our Lady Di.
Well, do you know, like, yeah, soft play, don't care. Like,
I will.
So what I'm meant to be wearing is exactly what you just described. Mm-hmm. So like a structured, but like with a bit of bag to it, kind of pair of like straight leg jeans that hit the ankle at a very specific spot. And I feel like that's another thing that, you know, you can't
getting
talk
that
about.
Ankle length is a thing.
Yeah, you can't talk about skinny jeans and, you know, the evolution of denim without talking about ankles and their sudden prominence. I'll get back to that in a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, ankles and then like a big oversized sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But that somehow manages to look like cool and not like you're ill.
Totally. It has to have that sort of like the kind of hint of a shoulder poking through.
Yeah.
But also isn't too long either.
Not too long. Or like so long that it kind of swamps you and you look like a dainty pixie woman. That maybe a baseball cap with your hair in like a low pony with like a fashionable scrunchie. And then bum bag, obviously, you know, like the Uniqlo,
the Uniqlo bag.
And then either a pair of like good, like designery trainers with a statement sock or, Birks, obviously, Birkenstock clogs, or like maybe a boot now we're getting into the colder weather. That's the mom uniform in my area. And then like a puffer coat, you know. And I can't nail it. I try. Every time I try, I just feel like I'm cosplaying and I always get it a little bit wrong. You know, just a little, the details are off. But yeah, so that, yeah, you're right. Those are the jeans that I think we keep coming back to. And they're almost like a little palate cleanser. And then in between, you get the real fashion jeans.
Yeah. So wait. So would we call skinny jeans, they're no longer a fashion jean? They were a fashion jean, but then they just... I think you're right that the jegging moment was a real... downturn, but before that moment, a very important thing happened in 2003, and I wonder if you know what it is.
It's not Kate Moss. That was a bit later, wasn't it?
It's a little TV show called Sex and the City, which was a comedy drama.
I've heard it rings a bell. I have
about
heard
four
of it.
Women in New York City.
Was the city the fifth character?
Yes, I'll argue. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm on board.
And in 2003, there was an episode called The Post-It Always Sticks Twice, which is obviously important because of Jack Berger's...
Oh, Miranda getting back in her skinny jeans. And of course, skinny jeans there used in a different way, right? As in the jeans she could only wear because she had a baby, stopped having time to eat and lost
her
weight.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, which is bananas.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's just had a baby, it's not happened.
I remember on the same time reading an interview with Angelina Jolie that was like, you don't have time to eat when you're running around after five kids or whatever. It's like, this cannot be true. Like, who's fed this to writers
actors? Because you're sleep deprived, so sugar is the next best thing to sleep. But anyway, Miranda's skinny jeans. And remind me, were they... skinny jean in shape? Are we talking?
They were skinny in shape. I remember them so well, obviously, because they were kind of a high waist. They were black. They had that like great label on the back. She really did look amazing.
She did
in
look
them.
Good in them.
And it was that thing of like she did, remember those Atlantic City episodes where she was sort of wearing the long red cardi,
The stretchy pants.
And this moment was supposed to be like the liberation of Miranda kind of thing. We're gonna get a new sexy free Miranda.
She had a little vest top on with them, didn't she?
Yes, and she was like, and the one with the glass. Glasses is mine. Yeah. It's round and round in my head. And but like it was the thing of like this, by the end of that show, there weren't that many scenes or storylines anymore of them all going out together at like for big nights out.
There was always
the brunch scenes, there was always cocktail scenes, but them going out to parties had kind of become a thing of the
Felt
earlier
really
seasons.
Really exciting.
Yeah, in the early seasons there was lots of engagement parties, lots of club launches, and then by then less and less. And so it was this kind, and there was kind of a whole rock and roll atmosphere to that entire episode. They went to this mad club, went to this mad pub afterwards, they got stoned.
Yeah.
It's one of the best episodes
Samantha
ever.
Samantha was wearing her New York doll.
Oh, so
plunging,
good.
Like.
One of the all time best episodes.
Yeah.
Like, not just for the poster, just for everything. And I do think that must have been one of the first because at this point, Mr. Slim Man,
Mr. Slim Man,
is making the clothes. But is this the first time we've had the phrase "skinny jeans" appear in culture? Because that was the earliest phrase I could find.
And you know, it didn't occur to me because I think I associate skinny jeans so much with indie.
Yeah,
and
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, youth, that actually Miranda as a 30-something woman in New York, like that, just it. But you're right, that was coming from a completely different place, but it was all colliding at the same time.
Yeah, and it was a kind of a grungy look, a grown-up grungy look kind of thing.
Yeah. And actually, I guess if we're getting back into the sort of body image of it all,
yeah,
you know, it was something about the confidence of encasing your ass and heading out into the world, you know? And like, not to bring up Trini Susanna again, but I did.
You're 9/11.
My 9/11. My Roman Empire. I went back to the books in preparation for this, which I have both on my shelf. They were a very big part
of
my youth. I haven't brought them with me because actually they barely mention jeans.
Really?
No, it turns out they were very into a palazzo pant. They were really pushing the palazzo pant agenda. Not a lot of jean in the book. Only mainly in derogatory ways to say,
I remember
say,
them
like,
in the show a lot. I remember the bootcut jeans.
Bootcut jean, yeah. So like when they were recommending a jean, it was definitely a bootcut. Uh-huh. Again, because flattering, you know. Yeah, so like I went back to those books and reading them again, it does hit me with this whole wave of like, there are so many things I still believe when I go shopping, even today, because I ingested those messages as a 12, 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so going out in skinny jeans, hearing the kind of voice of Trini Susanna in my head being like, ah, get yourself back in a nice pair of bootcuts if you have... Awful words they used to use, like saddlebags.
Oh,
saddlebags, yeah.
Saddlebags.
Yeah.
Hate that.
And so there, you know, there was something that was a little bit punk, dare I say it, about us all wearing those jeans and, you know, just how tight they got. And isn't it fascinating that it went from that to, you know, in the space of a decade, our mums wearing them.
Yes.
And jeggings. Yeah.
I remember
being the absolute default.
The moment where I thought that, like, where I first realised, like, oh, this trend that has been around my entire life is actually going to die, is that when my mum was visiting last Christmas, we had some kind of thing in some kind of lovely mum and daughter activity, like going to the V&A and being in the coffee shop or something.
Lovely.
Lovely. And afterwards, we browsed the charity shops around Kensington. And she was looking through the jeans. She was like, oh my God, like flipping through, being like, here's like some Ralph Lauren jeans and Tommy Hilfiger jeans and like all these great designers or whatever. And I picked them up. They were, every single one was a skinny.
Of course.
It's like, oh, all the rich women are getting rid of their skinnies.
Yeah,
that was a year ago.
Right.
You know?
Was you putting a finger up to the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, it's done. And she was like, you got to get these. And I was like, no.
Oh,
she thought I was crazy. She thought I was crazy for not buying like a, you know, a £22 Ralph Lauren jean, you know?
We're all a little bit crazy. And this is one of the things, you know, it's a tricky thing for me to talk about as somebody who preaches, like, we need to break up with fast fashion. Yeah. We need to kind of move away from the relentless trend cycle. But it's in the water. It's something that's very hard, I think. It's something very human. To get bored of things and move on. And it's, there is something quite tribal. We look at who's around us. We want to kind of fit in with the moment. It's a very difficult thing. Like, I battle with it. And maybe, hey, in another 10 years time, I will be kind of confident enough in my own personal style that I won't feel that need to kind of track trends and what the people are doing. And
it's nice that like you've dedicated so much of your career to sustainability and can still put your hands up and be like, people get bored of things.
People get bored of things. Yeah, I mean, so my answer to that is always just don't get rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. Just if you can put it in storage, if you can put it under your bed, put it in the loft, whatever, you will probably be getting it out again in 10, 15 years' time. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's because fashion moves so terrifyingly quickly.
Yeah.
And it, faster and faster and faster at the moment as well. Like things are coming back around at like breakneck speed.
Yes.
Like I got out the other day, there was a phase where riding caps, do you remember this?
Riding caps.
This was like a very micro trend. Not quite a baker boy cap. Like a structured, it looks like a riding hat, as in like a black, like a little peak.
I don't remember this at all.
So I bought this in 2012, I think.
Okay.
Got it out the other day. Looks good again.
Wow.
Yeah. But where were we? Your mum's. Yes.
Mum's in skinny jeans. Mum's love skinny jeans.
They've got a bit of stretch. They're comfy. My mum looks good in a skinny jean. You can tuck them into your boots. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that will come back again as well, tucking them into boots.
Yeah, what this is fascinating to me as well is that, like, and you as a sustainability expert, is that, like, the... obviously replacing a pair of, you know, what most people have, like, what, between, I'm going to say between 3 and 6 pairs of jeans in their wardrobe.
Right.
Right. 6 feels like a lot.
Yeah, that feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just about replacing the jean. It's about it's about the silhouette and everything that goes with the jean.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
I associate with skinny jeans is Converses.
Yep.
A slightly longer line top.
Yes, I wrote this down. Suddenly tops got longer to the point where we even maybe had to layer one top over a longer top.
Precisely.
To fill that gap. Yeah.
Totally. And if you're really doing the indie sleeves, maybe a little waistcoat over that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a shrug cardigan over that.
And then necklaces got longer in line with the tops.
Yes.
Probably an owl on it.
Mm-hmm. Our cultural inheritance, what we'll be giving to our granddaughters is a box full of tangled
owl
necklaces.
Rusty owls with one eye missing.
And that to me, that obviously summarizes the sort of like 2010 young woman. And it all sort of stems from the jean shape. Yeah. Whereas now, my favorite pair of jeans are a high-waisted cos jean with a straight leg. Mm-hmm. I feel great in them. They do have a seam that does buckle at around 4 hours in. You're due right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're soldiering on bravely.
But I love them. But with that, because I wear them virtually every day, I have started buying cropped loose jumpers. I haven't worn a pair of Converse in about 2 years now at this point because they don't look right with them.
No.
So I'm wearing gumboots and I'm wearing loafers.
It's
like a knock-on effect.
I'm in a loafer
everything.
Right now. Yeah.
Let's have a look. Lovely stuff. Where are they from?
They are Vagabond or Vinted.
Fab.
Thank you very much. But shoes particularly, I was thinking about this, and skinny jeans did change everything. So I was asking my husband how he felt as a man, like when skinny jeans came in. Yeah. And he said, it took me a long time to get my head around it because I had been conditioned to believe the most important thing about trousers was that they covered your shoes. And suddenly, but he's right, because suddenly shoes became so much more important, more visible than ever before. And ankles, and also the tops of your feet became an erogenous zone, obviously. Like the advent of the ballet pump.
Of course.
All of that. And it does, you're right, every time a new jean shape comes in, it throws everything else in your wardrobe off kilter.
Yeah.
Suddenly the silhouette changes. Suddenly it's all about hitting your waist or your hip or your ankle at a different point.
Yeah.
It's very tiring.
I find it fascinating. For someone who knows nothing about fashion, I could like...
I could talk about this all day. You're a very well-dressed woman.
But like, I don't know about designers. I don't know about shops. I don't know about... But like the... And I think as well of like that uniform of the... Like, I mean, a subject that often people throw my way and I'm not really quite sure what to do with, and maybe covertly it's this episode.
Yeah.
Jeans and a nice top.
Jeans and a nice top.
Because that was where the skinny jean... It's very hard now to find a nice top.
Do you know,
especially one that goes with a high-waisted, cos jean.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry to keep invoking our age, but is it hard to find a nice top? Or is it hard for us as women in our mid-30s to find a nice top?
Yeah.
Because our definition of a nice top has maybe narrowed. I don't know.
If you were to close your eyes and imagine a nice top, what would that look like in your head?
I think it's got like a bat wing or like an angel wing.
What do you mean by that?
Do you know, like a kind of...
Oh.
It's got something going on in the sleeve. There's yes. like an angel wing sleeve.
Uh-huh. Oh, so yeah, it's covering, but it's gauzy.
It's gauzy. Yeah. There's a bit of a movement. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's maybe it's like a wrap and you could wear a little lacy bra underneath it.
Yes.
Right? Like something like that. And it's in a velvet. Or
lovely. Oh, I love that. A low V wrap situation, but yeah. it's not actually a wrap.
It's not actually a wrap, crucially.
But it has a nice sort of chiffon-y wing. Uh-huh, oh, uh-huh.
And then you can wear top. Like some sort of sexy, like lacy bra thing yes. peeking out underneath. Peeking is a word that that springs to mind. Is that a nice top? I
That's
don't
a nice
know.
Top.
I don't
this
know.
Podcast is now thinking of tops.
But what did you think was a nice top in the jeans and a nice top era of the mid-noughties? Like, oh, what were you wearing?
Gosh,
a nice
the nice
top?
Tops I had. A nice top that I frequented a lot was a kind of a V-neck t-shirt mm-hmm. with that was had sequined bejeweled thing and quite a low V, but it was still essentially yeah. a t-shirt.
A t-shirt, right? Yeah. And now t-shirts go hand in hand with this whole era as well, because yeah. let's not forget that skinny jeans came out of that time where 14-year-old girls were wearing like a tweed midi skirt with
my favorite thing.
A tweed midi skirt with a pair of flat leather riding boots mm-hmm. and then like
oh, God,
a kind
so
of
so many riding boots.
So many riding boots and then like a boat neck 3/4 length sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah.
And that was considered like the epitome of chic. Like that was what I wore to my non-uniform days at school.
Yeah.
Circa kind of 2002. I was dressing like a sort of middle-aged librarian. It was this very strange time.
I feel like every time I see you, we try to get to the bottom of this.
And why did it happen? Why did people let us? But so it really warms my heart now that teenagers have gone back to the massive baggy jeans
yeah.
and they're going very grunge again. I love it because I think teenagers should look like they crawled out of a swamp.
Yes,
I think
and they
that's
really
correct.
Do.
They really do now. And I want to applaud them for it.
Yeah.
Because also we had a phase recently where teenagers looked too good. Like they were all contouring. Mm-hmm. They were all very immaculate. They looked better than us. It's yeah. not right. Like in the natural order of things, it isn't
it's
right.
Not right.
And now they've gone back to looking very swampy again. And I think it's wonderful.
I love it. And like I meet teenagers not infrequently through my work writing
yeah.
YA. And what I find so reassuring about it is that there is like as with any class of teenage girls, I don't care what the teenage boy's doing, but any class of teenage girls, there's like that top 5% of like beautiful girls. Mm. And I can't remember what beautiful girls were wearing in our time, but now it's just like basically Skims. They're wearing Skims.
Right, fine, fine, fine.
But everybody else below that is like drawing on their hands, has a shredded
yes.
sleeve.
Yeah.
With their
with a
thumbs
hole,
through
with
it.
With their thumbs sticking through it.
And
oh.
like horror, like lots of badges and
yeah.
like
Tipex on the rucksack. Are they doing that
still,
again?
Still, it really
Song
people
lyrics.
Want to pretend it's changed. It hasn't.
Oh, see, I just love it.
The hot
that
rich girls always
happy.
Wear something fashionable and then everybody else is just wearing shit.
Yes. And I think we have seen a return of like subcultures as well, which again we did for a while. We didn't. I think it's kind of down to TikTok. I think she
yes.
she says TikTok. Throw that phrase in there. that it is no longer like fashion hasn't isn't as homogenous as it was 10, 15 years ago for yeah. that age group because they are all kind of using music and culture
yeah.
to find their people, you know? And then you've got the whole dark academia thing, which yeah. happened, and there's like been a million other yeah subcultures that I'm not going to try and name and embarrass myself right now, but I know
well,
they're happening.
Ballet core is a big thing.
Ballet core is a big thing. Isn't...
Which is essentially a way of just wearing ballet flats and a wrap top.
Yeah, lovely.
All of this.
Delightful.
It's like, yeah, sure, I had ballet
yeah,
flats
yeah,
and a wrap top.
Just a core on the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. But that makes me happy because, again, I think that's kind of what adolescence should be about, is that sort of gluing together your identity from yeah. little scrapbook snippets of culture from the last however many years or centuries that you've found and little things that appeal to you and
yeah.
kind of haphazardly fashioning it all into an outfit and going out and being like, yeah, this is who I am today.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
We've gone off jeans. I'm sorry. They're wearing jeans.
They're wearing
big baggy jeans and the rain is seeping up through them. And that makes me happy.
Oh my God. Their jeans are making a sound as they walk. Just
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
So good.
I think that was like the opposite of ASMR.
I'm very interested. We touched on it a minute ago, but like the male body standards of it all. Because when I was 22, the dream boy... was basically an extension of like the heroin chic movement.
Right, right,
right. Do you
know
what I mean? Just like very, I didn't want any of them to have any kind of muscle tone whatsoever.
No, absolutely not.
That was kind of gross to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like at a certain point, I'd be interested in talking to a man about this, the way he felt it happened. Mm. Like getting jacked as hell stopped being something that was just for actors undergoing superhero movies and became a kind of an expectation of basically every man. And I do feel for them. Yeah. And maybe it actually has something to do with the proliferation of superhero movies, because every time one of those movies comes out, there's another Men's Health article about like how Chris Evans got his body or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe that has something to do with it.
I think maybe it's also something to do with information and just how much more readily available these kind of tips are.
Yeah.
You know?
It used to be if a man wanted to get fit, the only regime he had to follow was the Rocky drinking eggs and chasing a chicken around.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the wide availability of whey protein.
Oh my God.
Like, I think that's probably has something to do with it. But also, again, it's just that seesawing that we were talking about. It's like fashion will always just flip-flop between one thing and the other. Fashion loves opposites, right?
It does. Yeah.
And so it's like once being a kind of skinny-hipped indie boy stopped being cool, obviously they kind of, the men had to find somewhere else to go,
somewhere to bulk out.
To kind of torch themselves with, yeah.
They, I don't know. There's always this theory, and it sort of started around the Industrial Revolution of like when work started becoming highly mechanized, beards came back in a huge way. Like big, big bushy beards. Like for pre-Industrial Revolution, most people were clean shaven.
Okay.
And then machines started doing our work for us. And so this kind of, this trend to look as masculine as possible came back in. Like that's where you get all those that mental facial hair comes from.
I thought you were going to say it was something to do with like soot getting in the beard.
Oh, maybe that too.
Maybe that too. But no, that makes sense. So they were like, okay, we feel like less masculine because machines are doing all of our manly work for us.
Totally.
So let's grow a load of hair on our faces. Interesting.
And so maybe that's what like ordinary guys with office job getting jacked as hell for no reason.
To sit behind a desk all day because they're not plowing a field.
Totally.
Maybe.
Every time I walk around my neighborhood and I see like another PT yelling at somebody in a car park, I'm like, what is this for? Like,
yeah.
Are you, and like, and every man I talk to who's like into the gym is like, I like it. It's for my mental health. I enjoy it. I unwind. I'm like, okay,
fine, fair enough. Yeah, can't argue with it.
But it does not look fun.
No, it doesn't. So my husband, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, who had not really done any exercise in the whole time we'd been together apart from playing football like once a week. When I got pregnant, he went out one day, joined a gym, bought a load of like athleisure wear. Uh-huh. Bought a massive thing of protein shake, came home and sat me down and literally said to me like, oh, I need to talk to you about something I've been thinking about for a while. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to leave me. And then he said,
oh no, he wants to open up the marriage.
Right. I thought this would be terrible timing. Yeah. He said, I've joined a gym because I want to get strong for the baby.
Oh my God.
To which I said, how much do you think they weigh? But like, it was definitely, it was a thing for him. It was a kind of, right, I need to step up to this new challenge in my life. I need muscles to do that. And he started going to the gym. And
is he jacked now? Jacked as hell?
I think he looks lovely.
So no.
But no. I don't want a jacked husband. No. That's not my type. No. Like, you know, like I loved his body before. I love it now. He's great. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's jacked. He's definitely a bit. Yeah, he's bulked out a little bit. But it was never about that. Do you know, it was more like he felt there was some kind of something deep inside him that said, right, the way, you know, you're not a boy anymore, you're a man, my son, and you must go and get some muscles to prove it.
I have seen this is the first time I've heard of someone's husband coming to them and being like, here's my new plan.
Yeah.
But I have noticed this in other pregnant couples I know.
Mm.
And I wonder if it is something to do with like their wife or girlfriend is going through this immense
massive physical change. Yeah. Honestly, I think there's probably
like
something
in that.
They feel
left out.
Like genuinely.
Lauren's making gains. Why aren't I making gains?
And I was just eating quiche for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
God. I know being pregnant is horrible, but it sounds lovely.
The quiche was good. I'm not going to lie. I walked around with quiche in my handbag.
But what I wanted to get back to.
Quiche
in your handbag.
Yeah, I really did.
The lesser known Beyonce lyric. is that when. Okay, so the body standards for men change, but. And then the meme of leg day, of skipping leg day became more evident because, like those five men wearing jeans, it's like these incredibly huge torsos with these little legs accentuated by the skinny jeans.
By the skinny jeans. Yeah. They don't help. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then all of a sudden, that kind of slightly Jack the Lad uniform of like a nice, you know, Jack Wills shirt or something and a skinny jean and... I don't know what shoes do they wear.
Loafers, no socks.
Loafers, no socks, as like the going out outfit that began to change then.
Yes, also it did. Yeah, and so it's harder as well for the men. Well, nobody think of the men because they don't have as far to go. So women's fashion, you know, will always be so much more variable. It's a broad technicolor rainbow of options. Men's fashion, or at least the fashion that is socially prescribed to, you know, men and those who identify as male, it's just, it's so much more limiting. It's really painting in shades of grey, isn't it? So it's like, if skinny jeans are no longer a thing for guys, where do they go? Just to a slightly looser straight leg jean.
Do you know what? I find so sad that they are so excited about Carhartt.
Yeah, right.
That is the most inventive thing they have is fucking Carhartt. The most boring clothes I've ever seen.
But again, clothes designed for people ploughing fields, right?
Exactly.
Right?
And then we have the crisis of masculinity again.
So my friend Duncan was really horrified a year or two ago because he followed my brother on Twitter. And my brother is a Gen Z millennial cusper. Hi, Dan, if you're listening. And Dan's very on it. Dan's a very fashionable man. And he tweeted something quite scathing about millennials still wearing skinny jeans. Uh-huh. And that was how my friend Duncan found out. And he messaged me and he was really upset about it. And still is now, to be honest. Aww. And like, I really sensed, like, I really felt for him in that moment because it was like, oh, like you thought you'd found your look, your uniform.
And you thought you never had to think about it again.
You thought you never had to think about it again. Yeah. Maybe this is the most confident you felt in your clothes. And now some little upstart has just come and pissed all over it. And now you've got to go back to the drawing board.
We've all had those moments when we have something in our lives that we think is like, we've been doing it forever and we think it's something like very Chanel number 5 of us. Do you know what I mean? We're doing something
it's
very classic.
It's a timeless classic. Yeah. It's my signature.
And then someone gets a little bit piss-takey about it and your worldview just rocks for about 3 weeks.
I mean, for me, it's having very, very, very long hair, which I know that like sooner or later I am probably going to bow to pressure and just have to cut it all off.
No, you can't.
It's silly.
Most beautiful hair in the business.
It's silly hair. I did wonder, like, how long will the shacket last? Do you think?
The
shacket. Because I was thinking about portmanteaus and I wonder, and again, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, no pun intended.
Yeah.
If jeggings were the death of the skinny jean and shumpers were used as shorthand for, in the Aisling books, for being a little bit lame. Maybe portmanteau fashion is where things die.
Oh, this is a rich territory.
Right? Like maybe once things become a portmanteau, we kind of shouldn't be touching them anymore. Like that's where it becomes a bit of a gimmick.
Because it's a kind of a catchphrase, know?
But shackets, everybody loves a shacket at the moment.
I can 100% see in 5 years' time there being like a Gen Alpha person TikTok. Ripping the piss out of the shackets.
Out of the shackets. Anyway, you heard it here first. I'm prophesizing.
Wow. My God. Do we have anything else?
No, I'm going to consult.
I'm amazed we've gotten this much out of it, to be honest. You haven't slept and I'm hungover.
I've just written down, the other day I saw a young person in a shop wearing one of those long, skinny fringed scarves.
Oh,
over
my
a vest
God.
Top. And that was exciting. I could smell the J-Lo glow. Do you know?
Oh, still like one of my favourite perfumes.
It's a great perfume.
Yeah.
It really is. It's
beautiful. And it sticks.
I think maybe, have you done celebrity perfumes as an episode?
No, but I should.
Oh, I feel like there's a lot in that actually.
Yeah.
Because nothing is more derided than a celebrity perfume.
Yes.
That's like half off on an aeroplane, you know?
And there's a man I follow who likes to continue, he's like a perfumer, but he likes to continuously go on rants about how Britney Spears' fantasy, or maybe circus perfume, is the best commercial perfume on the market.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that kind of intel when Lidl and Aldi started doing the rip-offs of Chanel Coco Mademoiselle.
Yes.
Yeah, God, I stunk at that for
This is a completely... We're on a very tangenty mood today, but I've become upset. It's weird because like I'm now in a position in life where I can technically afford, you know, Charlotte Tilbury or something. Yeah. Or like nice department store
nice
makeup.
Yeah.
And I'm now more than ever obsessed with dupes. Obsessed with getting my money's worth on something. Like, yeah, Elf, for example. They do a very cheap version of the Clinique Black Honey Lip.
Oh, I remember when that was such a thing. Right? I saved up my Saturday job money and went out and bought it.
For what? Tinted Vaseline?
I know. But Caroline, it looks great on everybody. It comes out a different colour on everybody.
Because it's nothing. Like, so does like
Yeah. But it's
clean water.
It's the promise of the mood ring. Do you know what I mean? It's that idea of something that's like, there's that very expensive perfume that is meant to react with your pheromones. It's called like molecule number 3-2 something.
Okay.
I don't know. And the idea is it smells different on everybody because it reacts with like your bodily
but
mask.
All perfume
and
there's something just smells very different on everybody.
I know, but it's the gimmick, isn't it? It's something so exciting about that idea of like, oh, I wonder what my own personal brand will be. That sounds like I'm talking about farts.
This has gone in places.
It's gone places.
Before we move on from the dupes thing, though, I would want to say that Barry M lip pencils as good as MAC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know.
There you go.
There we go.
There we are.
Don't say you get nothing from this book. I mean,
you get shopping tips. I'm basically Mary Portis.
Money. So the only thing I've got in my notes that we haven't covered is what I've called the hitch, which was that little reflexive tug that became a hallmark of the skinny jeans era, which was just hitching them up constantly, right? And I don't miss that. That is something that rigid jeans have really, gifted us.
Oh my god.
It's quite visceral when you think about it, that constantly having to hitch the jean up and the top down. The jean up, the top down. To the point where we were probably doing it in our pyjamas. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it became second nature.
Oh my god, that has just brought back the most vivid sense memory of just like tottering off a bar stool and
hitch the jeans up, sleek the top down. It's Proustian.
Because also by that point, you're like, we're in this sort of legging, jegging kind of
situation. Exactly.
As you say, portmanteau fashion is the death of a trend.
Yeah.
And like, they have no structural integrity. They essentially are blue tights. And they're just like, there's just pull it all up.
Yeah. And like, it kind of goes hand in hand with the little twitch that we developed flicking our side fringe out of our eyes, which, and I have a slightly mortifying story about that. So when I was at uni, I had a friend called Rory and we were really good friends for like the whole time we were at uni. Just before we left in our third year, he made some little reference, not in a mocking way, like in a very nice way, to my twitch. And I went, what twitch? And he was like, oh, you know, you've got a twitch. And I was like, I don't have a twitch.
What?
Do I have a twitch?
That would unmake me.
It turned out I don't have a twitch. It was me flicking my fringe out of my eyes and he thought that I had an actual facial tic the whole time he'd known me.
The
way we suffer for fashion.
He's probably like, Lauren, that nice girl with Parkinson's.
Bell's palsy or something. Something was going, genuinely, maybe he wouldn't have been my friend. He was a very handsome man. He might not have been my friend had he not
thought he was
diversifying his friendship group. Like, I don't know. But it was because I had such a heavy, heavy side fringe. Like, at one point, my parting was almost on my ear, let's be honest. It was like walking around with like a Greg's cheese slice kind of on my head at all times.
I love that. One of the recent times you've been in here for this podcast has been for the weddings episode, which might have been last year.
That was this time last year.
Yeah, because I got married in August.
You did.
I did. And then you being like really paranoid about what your fringe was doing on that day, and you still get a steady succession of sentimental garbage listeners who compliment your fringe on that day.
I do. It's really funny. What I get is like probably at least once a week I will get someone liking my wedding photos like 2 years deep in my Instagram grid, and I always know that they're sentimental garbage listeners just coming to see what my fringe was doing. And then I'll get like little messages from people being like, I think it looks nice.
It's a very nice community we have here.
It really is. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, we've gone all over the map. Mm. We came into this knowing that I was hungover and that you were sleep deprived. And I think we've done a great job.
I think we have. Well done us.
In summary, the skinny jean is dead.
Long live.
But also, long live the skinny jean. So, Lauren, thank you so much for coming in today and really getting to the bottom of these bottoms. you're an expert, I would say, in fashion and the life cycles thereof.
Mm.
And one of the places this was like, you've done this across many of your journalism and your nonfiction book, How to Break Up with Fast Fashion. But one of my favourite ways that you've expressed it is in your novel, Pre-Loved.
Thank you very much. Where there is actually a chapter about some skinny jeans.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I should have reread that for this.
Oh, I mean, it's
what was the conclusion?
Not very relevant. They were baggy around the knees.
Often, yeah.
Often, yeah. They were in a charity shop, but hey, they still had a second life because everything deserves one.
There you go.
Yeah, a nice moral to end on.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.